Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 321, 80 degrees here on this Monday, August 18th, 2025. And I'm happy to have in the studio with me today is Mr. and Mrs. Rob Bresnahan. How does that sound, Chelsea?
That sounds exciting.
A couple of people said it to me yesterday, and I just love it. It's fantastic.
So big weekend for you guys. It's been a big, you know, a year or so for you guys. You know, the whole run for Congress, you two meeting. Give us a little rundown. You know, the Cliff Notes version of how you guys met. It was in the midst of the pandemic, right?
Sure. Yep. It was the day Rob and his company Karchik Construction donated N95 masks to Luzerne County for caseworkers. So that way people with children and youth could still go into foster homes and check on the children safely with those masks. And the donation prompted David Pedry, who was the Luzerne County manager at the time, to hold a press conference to try and inspire other small businesses like Rob's to make donations if they could, and also kind of give an update to the public on where we were, where everything stood in the pandemic.
And that's where the story started. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings us round circle to today. You know, we'll skip all the courtship during a pandemic, which I know my son and his wife met during the pandemic.
It took a few years for that relationship to marinate. Really, we didn't start dating until what? It was in 2021. It's but when we first had the opportunity to meet each other. And then what was the other one, Chelsea? We had the Vice President Pence, who did an event in Exeter during the 2020 campaign. And then we also, I think what PennDOT, back when nobody was driving and the motor fuels funds was running short, a bunch of contractors were going to be potentially jeopardized on some payments throughout the state. So you did a story on that. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last one was when we did some emergency storm restoration work down in
Louisiana.
Louisiana.
So it was 18 months and four newsworthy events between first meeting and becoming an item.
Until he finally convinced you, huh? or pursued you.
I think
enough.
It was the other way around.
All right. There you go. There's some breaking news right there. So one of the big things you brought up there is the Luzerne County manager at the time now runs an organization, the Luzerne Foundation here, that does a lot of good in our area. And you guys made a big announcement in your wedding. It was pretty impressive. And listen,
thank you.
The naysayers are going to be naysayers. Politics seem to take front and center on everything. But how can you not like helping people in need?
Well, I think, Rob, what's important is long before I entered public service, I mean, philanthropy was always ingrained to me through my grandfather, Wally Karchik. I mean, he was the first person to reach into his pocket to whether lend a bucket truck for a local municipality to put up Christmas lights. And obviously, he installed a lot of those same morals and ethics into me. And it was something that I always tried to perpetuate through his legacy and the spirit of philanthropy. So in my past life, long before public service, and, you know, taking the political temperaments out of these discussions, I was on the board of directors for Big Brothers Big Sisters. I was the past president of the SPCA of Luzerne County. I was involved in Junior Achievement of Northeastern PA. I was on the Catholic Youth Center, one of the only 24-hour daycare centers. As far back going to when I did Leadership Wilkes-Barre, and we renovated the library in the basement of the CYC. So giving back to our community, and obviously, you know, running through the company, we were in positions to, you know, help a local police department. They were a little short on the resources to preserve a police car
or get a canine.
Two canines, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, getting involved with the community has always just been who we are, and I think I've always governed by to whom much is given, much will be required. And I'm incredibly blessed. We are incredibly blessed, and I never sought a career for a paycheck and public service. I did this because I want to be able to fight for my country and my home, our home that we've called for five generations as a family. And this was a great opportunity to try to make a difference. And the projects that we want to invest in are very similar to different projects that I like to look at with the federal government. We want to take B-level projects and turn them into A-worthy projects. We don't want to just, you know, throw good money at a bad problem. We want to be able to invest into the next generation and take, you know, like that, for instance, with the CYC project, when I was involved with Leadership Wilkes-Barre, we were able to rise the Keystone Star recognition for the PNC library. So they would actually be able to receive better reimbursements and then obviously have it become almost self-sustainable. So that's almost what we want to do. We want to take a project that just needs that extra push to get across the finish line and ultimately hope that it becomes self-sustaining and creates a bigger and better universe to be able to help more people.
And what you've developed is this Greenlight project, and the initial donation is the equivalent to your first term, 2 years salary, $350,000, or just about $350,000, and you donated all monetary gifts from your wedding to this fund as well, which will be run through the Luzerne Foundation. Chelsea, tell us how this dynamic's going to work about the Greenlight Foundation and how it's going to go through and how people can get involved with it.
Sure. So the Greenlight project is a charitable fund hosted by the Luzerne Foundation. So all of the applications, all of the details are going to be available shortly, soon, in a few weeks, on the Luzerne Foundation's website. I think the goal is for us to start accepting applications on October 1st. And then the Luzerne Foundation will kind of review all of those applications, make sure they fit the criteria that we set in place for support. And then once the Luzerne Foundation kind of gathers all of the applications, picks, you know, who they think are good enough or
qualify,
then we'll kind of say like, yeah, good, great. Give them the green light.
There's also some limitations with house ethics as to how involved we could be.
Right.
So having our own foundation where we are on a board for, and of course we never want there to be any indications of improprieties. And that's why we've, you know, partnered with Dave Pedry and the Luzerne Foundation, because they do an incredible job for so many other organizations and other like foundations. We'll be able to set the parameters and then allow them to be able to really run and continue, hopefully, this for, you know, generations to come.
And I love in the story, and I'm reading here the story from the Citizen's Voice on this, and the research I've done is that Bridging the Gap nonprofits serving Northeast Pennsylvania, grants from $2,000 to $8,000 demonstrating how their work helps bridge the gap in the community, whether it's access to education, healthcare, housing opportunity, or support services. So it really opens the door for the Luzerne Foundation to do a lot. You know, if there is a police department that may need canine or support for a canine or a bulletproof vest for a canine or support there from our local fire department, where, you know, a lot of taxpayer funds fall short with our volunteer departments and such, it really opens up the opportunity, not to mention all the nonprofits out there that are doing work for the communities as well.
And trade schools. And, you know, that's something that was obviously really important to me in my last life. I was the chairman of a joint apprenticeship training committee. And, you know, we talk about needing to reinvest into the 22nd generation worker right now. And we need, you know, unfortunately, getting out of the gate and buying the tools that you need to be able to start a career could sometimes be hard. So let's try to offset some of the startup costs. And, you know, it could be, like you said, it could be involving with the police, EMS, volunteer firefighters. I mean, they are incredible people and what they go through. And we see recruiting challenges everywhere that we are right now. So, you know, I don't think there's a one-fits-all strategy, but, you know, obviously the takeaway here is that we are just incredibly blessed to be in a position to be able to give back to our community.
I'm glad you brought it up on that, because I personally know people who were in line worker apprenticeship programs where they had to buy their own climbing equipment, you know, their own spikes to get up these poles and such like that. And they are costly. You know, we helped out a few people getting some of this gear, people who had it sitting in their garage. It was older but still usable and such like that. I mean, you're talking thousands of dollars in equipment just to get into these apprenticeship programs. Some of them provide it, but a lot of them don't. It's on the individuals as they're trying to go to these trades schools to start these apprenticeships outside in the field.
And this is a way they earn while they learn. But I mean, sometimes that barrier, that initial cost, is what may decide whether a young person decides that, hey, I'm going to go into the trades or not. And these are careers that they will have for the in perpetuity. These, you know, your alignment is never going to be replaced by artificial intelligence. We are always going to need our plumbers and our electricians and our carpenters. I mean, these are skill sets that you'll be able to take for the rest of your life. And obviously, with the amount of development that we see taking place right here in our own backyard, there are incredible opportunities. So I think you combine with, you know, a financial literacy is always something that's been really important to me for our elementary school, high school age children. That's why I thought Junior Achievement always did a great job. TechBridge of of northeastern Pennsylvania, where I was served as a treasurer and the co-chair of the business plan competition in 2020 and 2021, where you get to work with other entrepreneurs. And, you know, that's a really exciting place. We got to go to the Innovation Summit, 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. And just seeing the excitement that, you know, entrepreneurs bring and, you know, being able to hopefully help the curriculum around that, I think really the sky is the limit. And we like to see this continue to evolve over time and get more people involved and, you know, understand that, it goes back that I was given an incredible education opportunity to be able to go to the University of Scranton. And to be able to give back to my home outside of my official job as, you know, as a member of Congress. This is Rob and Chelsea, you know, and I think a big thing that brought us together was how we were both involved in the community. I mean, every time I would see her, she was out reading for PA 250 or, you know, we did Dancing with the Stars of Wilkes-Barre together, benefiting KISS Theater.
We ran the Team Allied Marathon. So we ran the marathon for Allied Services. So this is, I mean, we're mentioning a few different avenues that we would love to support, but really, like I said, this is open to everybody. So if you know somebody who has identified a problem and is actively working to solve that problem, we encourage you to tell them about the Greenlight Project and apply once applications are open.
And that's why I had you both in here. When I saw this start and saw the push behind it, people need to know about it. Because, I mean, if you look at the politics has become a contact sport. You guys now know that very well. You know, myself coming from a law enforcement background and then now here on the radio, you get very thick skin very quickly. But we have to realize, too, I mean, you're both human beings as well. You're both people. You know, you live here. You're residents. This is your home. What you do for work is your job. And you love your jobs, obviously. You loved broadcasting. You love what you're doing now. You love your company that's now doing its own thing because your focus is down in Washington with Congress, but here also in your district. But we've come far too distant away from detaching ourselves from the people. You know, the feelings, the family members, you know, in the end, you're just NEPA residents that are doing something that you both admit you have a very blessed life. And is that part of the focus and the resentment? Maybe. But if you look at what's happening, politics is, listen, if someone doesn't agree with your politics, don't vote for you in the next election. It's totally as simple as that. If you do not prove that things are better next year than they were 2 years ago or 4 years ago, then vote in a different direction. It's as simple as that. But the vitriol, the attacks, and the utter the other viciousness that's come out there, I mean, simply you, career-wise, you know, personally, just simply, I can't follow you anymore because of who you married. Really? I mean, are we that shallow this day and age? I'm still the same. You're still the same person.
Right.
You know, it's we just need to learn to distance ourselves to, hey, we don't have to agree, but there's no reason to hate each other, too. So when I saw an opportunity like this, because if you look at the Luzerne Foundation, it's a very dynamic, multi-progressive organization. I mean, it's not Republicans or Democrats. It's not conservatives or liberals. It's people trying to help people. Mm-hmm. And that's what this foundation is. And people can try and spin it all they want. But in the end, I appreciate you doing something like this for Northeast Pennsylvania. And I'm sure a lot of people in Northeast Pennsylvania will appreciate that. And it's, you know, things like this, you need to get out there in the positive light they are. And again, if you don't agree with politics, fine. Leave that in Washington. Leave that in the voting booth. Not something like this where you can help somebody that you know, these most of these people probably would agree with.
You know, Rob, even if, say, per se, somebody who doesn't agree with me politically and they're a part of an organization that, you know, really fits the mold of what we're trying to ultimately do, we're going to help that organization. I mean, I've had so many people that have approached me and needed help with constituency casework that said, listen, I didn't vote for you and I don't agree with X, Y, or Z, but you really helped us out here. And, you know, that's what's really important. That's at the end of the day, that's what my job is as a legislator. And it's our job as good stewards of our community to be able to give back when we are in a position to do so.
I thank you both for coming in here and taking the time. You guys have had a big weekend. I know what the issues that are out there. Are you guys going to have time together to celebrate getting married this past weekend? Not where, not when, just is there going to be that time away somewhere, sometime?
You're the first day on our honeymoon here.
Yeah, welcome.
It truly
to the
is,
party.
Right. I wish I had some champagne and flowers, yeah, but
just some water.
Just a WILK studio here. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in. And again, I specifically, you know, addressed you both as Mr. and Mrs. Mrs. Bresnahan today. You're not a congressman. You're helping your community here. You just happen to be a congressman.
Thank you.
And if people agree with that or disagree with that, there's a place and time to deal with that. So Chelsea and Rob, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. It's 3:35 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:41. On this Monday, August 18th, 2025. So a couple of things to catch up on. I just want to give a shout out to the Scranton Fire Department. There was a major blaze in downtown Scranton. Three firefighters were injured. I hear they're going to be okay. About 20 people displaced. And, this happened on Pittston Avenue. It appears that a good Samaritan, it was believed that there may have been a child in the house, and the child was safe, and it was already known that the child was safe, but it wasn't known to everyone. And there was a good Samaritan, fire department was already there, who involved himself, for better or for worse, involved himself and ended up injuring himself, but could have also caused a lot of damage to the fire crew's operation that was going on there. And a lot of people don't, and listen, I'm an extreme novice too, but I've been in a lot of fire scenes. The venting of fire, there is a science behind firefighting. It's not just, hey, we show up with our hoses and we start to put water on things. That's part, a small part of fighting a fire. You know, proper ventilation and what kind of backdrafts and air is getting into this to feed a fire. And our firemen, both paid and volunteer service members, train relentlessly to recognize and know this operations. It is truly, firefighting is truly a science that goes unrecognized a lot of times. So it could have caused major issues. I believe the individual was originally detained and then released. I understand your heart may have been in the right place, and I was not there, so I'm not going to judge or just judge. I'm just going by the facts of what happened, that the person was detained and handcuffed and then released. But there were injuries. You know, I did see a photo with there was blood on the individual. But, three homes, 301, 303, and 305 on Pittston Avenue, 15 to 20 people displaced, three firemen injured and treated at local hospitals. The fire, the smoke was seen for miles away from the valley. And just I want to commend because they don't, you know, listen, everybody loves our firemen, but they don't get the recognition of what they truly risk day in and day out when something like this happens. I mean, there's not many people who are running into burning buildings, and they do day in and day out when it's called for, and they don't care who you are, how much you make, who you pray to, what your voting record is. They don't care. And a lot's to be said for heroes like that. So it's a tragedy that the loss of property and the damage to property that was there, but everybody gets to go home after they were treated, some of them eventually. But on a day like it was, the heat that was out there, I mean, today is a different day as far as the weather goes. Beautiful day weather-wise. It was not when they were fighting this fire. It was hot. It was humid. And they're dealing with flames. So a big shout out to our Scranton Fire Department on dealing with this. Property can be replaced. Belongings can be replaced. I know it's life-altering a lot of times, but this is just a show of testament of what our men and women in the Scranton Fire Department and the police department who were there assisting in perimeter security and everything as well. Red Cross with their rehab that they set up at these things. So a big shout out to our Scranton Fire Department because, again, the science behind fighting a fire does not go recognized often enough. But it's truly just that, a science. Of how to fight these fires, how to properly attack a fire, what you're going to do with what resources, from what direction, and ensure that every one of your people are accounted for at all times in case something tragic happens, in case there is a collapse or a flare-up, or it's just incredible what they do. So just want to give a shout-out to them. It is 3:45 here at WILK. We'll be back. Oh, it's time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Big Brothers Big Sisters Wine Festival. Get two tickets for $40 or one ticket for $20, half price. 2025 5 Rhythm and Wine Festival. This Saturday is Saturday, August 23rd. Not this Saturday. Saturday, August 23rd. Is that this Saturday? That is this Saturday, isn't it? At the Moonlight Drive-In in West Wyoming, live entertainment from M80 Trio, new craft vendors, 12 wineries, breweries, meaderies, and distilleries, plus a wide variety of food. New this year, Duncan Community Cruiser. 100% of the proceeds benefit Big Brothers, Big Sisters of NEPA. You could visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Yeah, I know it's Monday, August 18th, but the weather's nice, right? But sunsets this week are all before 8 o'clock. So the days are dwindling, and I did the next 2 weeks. 70s looks like about it. Not complaining, but my wife is. She said summer's over. We got to move. No, we don't. It's 5:53, 80 degrees right now, so that's a good thing. A couple things going on now. Geisinger to hold a Narcan distribution events in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. Geisinger's Pharmacy, Emergency Medicine, Addiction Medicine, and Free to Be Mom teams are collaborating again this year in 2 Narcan distribution events in Northeast Pennsylvania. Geisinger personnel will hand out boxes of Narcan, a fentanyl testing strips, and teach attendees how to properly use them at a community resource event in Luzerne and Lackawanna County. The Geisinger team will be joined by community health partners who will set up information tables and other resources to those recovery or seeking recovery. This is like anything else. I hope you have a first aid kit somewhere in your house, and you should have one of these available, especially if you have kids, especially if you have teens who are kids. Not necessarily for them. Hopefully your kids aren't intending that, but you never know. You never know what they come in contact with. You never know what one of their friends are in contact with. So it's good to have just in case. And just consider me one of those, you know, I'm the what if person, and I've always been the what if person. It's why I have a full EMT medical kit in my car at all times. It's why I carry tourniquets on me at all times. It's why I have Narcan in both my medical bag and in my medicine closet at home just in case. And again, being the fact that everyone in my house is probably drug tested all the time because of their employment and what they do, I'm not truly concerned about them, but I'm truly concerned about anything that may or may not happen. So at this day and age where it is available, they are giving it out. Why not? Have it just prepared. I'm aware of the story of parents packing their kids these, emergency kits that include Narcan, and I think that's a good idea. Plan B pills and such like that. Listen, you live your life the way you want to live your life. It's not my approval, but again, your life is not my concern. So do what you want to do, and I think that's a little over the top. But, you know, something like this to where, you know, I hope I never have to use a tourniquet on myself, but I'm going to have one because sooner or later, based on my past life, I've probably come in contact with someone I need to use it on. Hopefully not, but it's better to have it, not need it or use it than not have it at all. So these are good events. The first event will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. August 29th on a lawn across from Geisinger South Wilkes-Barre Emergency Room. The hospital's address is 25 Church Street in Wilkes-Barre. The second event will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. September 4th at the Linden Street Courtyard at Courthouse Square, 200 North Washington in Scranton. So again, just in case, it's good to have, and never need it, then not have it. And there are 2 packs per box of Narcan nasal spray. So it's something to have, just in case. Something else that's going on here, we did have the Bloomberg Money Minute that just passed up, but this week is bringing crucial updates in American housing market. You have major housing reports that are coming in this week. Zillow releases its monthly snapshot of both rentals and home sale markets, while the National Association of Realtors reports July existing home sales numbers as well this week. The story remains stubbornly consistent despite homes becoming slightly more affordable, sales are stuck in neutral. The typical monthly mortgage payment dropped 1% compared to last July, and household incomes rose 3.8% over the same period of time, yet sales remain sluggish. And the main driver of this, even though mortgage payments and interest rates have dropped a little bit, that base mark interest rate has not. And that will mean a lot. And I think a lot of people are holding off. A lot of people are waiting for this next rate reduction that should have happened already, should have happened 2 or 3 times at a quarter percentage point each time. Hopefully they do a 0.5% point or a 0.75% point. I think a full point would be a little too much, a little too aggressive, even though it's probably warranted based on the numbers that have come out. But I would like to see at least a 0.5% drop. That means thousands of dollars for your average homeowner. Thousands of dollars a year. So it could be the difference between affordability and not. People who are looking to upgrade a house or move and maybe downgrade. Maybe you're done with your 3 or 4 bedroom home because your kids are raised and you only want a 2 bedroom or a 1 bedroom townhouse or something. You don't have to take care of property. You're still mindful of the interest rates. You're still mindful, we're going to be on a fixed income sooner. We're already starting our fixed income lifestyle. We're going to make some money on the house that was our investment that we're going to sell, that we rose our children and our families in. Let's wait for that interest base mark to come down so it is more affordable, so we can be more comfortable, so we do have a little padding and room. So that's a big part of this. But a lot of these numbers come out this week, and it, based on these numbers, could be a deciding factor on where that interest rate benchmark goes with the Fed coming forward. So we'll see how this goes. I mean, I was perusing the housing market today. Just something I keep an eye on to see what's out there, what's available, what's down near the Virginia Beach area, what's down in the Pensacola area, what's down in the Annapolis area. You know, if there's something that good that comes up and interest rates become very good again, you know, maybe it's time to get that summer place. Maybe it's time to, forget about high taxes and pack up and leave. But it's always good to keep your eye on it and monitor those things and see where it goes. So this week we should get some of those numbers and we'll see where it falls. It's coming on 4 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. Again, it's 80 degrees out. Beautiful afternoon outside. Looks like a beautiful week. I think the first chance of rain is maybe the weekend. 4 o'clock.